whenever you're ready.
Oh my God.
Jessica! I've never been called a fox!
Dana.
That's a classy name for a Harry.
I like it classic.
Okay.
Do you?
Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast.
Sure.
Out with the bad and in with the good, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Jessica.
Dana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast. I am Dana Powell.
I'm Jessica Young. And we are here to rant and rave.
Boo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-doo. I made a fart noise.
I see that.
Hi,
somebody
Jessica.
Who doesn't like farting sure doesn't mind making a noise with their mouth.
Right? It's a fun noise to make.
Okay, that one sounded like it was underwater.
It was in my mouth. Jessica, how was your week?
It was great. How was yours?
Good, I think.
Yeah.
Every time, I don't know why. I know this question is coming every week.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what did I do?
Well, I did take a few short notes. Not
oh,
really
notes.
No, I just, you know, sometimes I'm like, I don't ever remember anything.
Yeah. Oh, how was your Valentine's?
It was very fun. So I went back to the opera.
Yeah, I know.
Don't be upset.
Well, too late.
Because guess what?
What?
We left at intermission.
No.
Yeah.
Jessica.
I fell asleep like 10 times in act one.
What was the opera?
Yikes. Eurydice. Supposedly from her point of view. Well, it wasn't.
It wasn't from her point of view?
No. Mm. It was really boring.
Oh, no.
Here's the thing. Again, when you go to productions, particularly the opera, it's a spectacle, right? Like mm-hmm. I always tell people, if they're like, I don't like opera, I'm like, I understand that. But please go because yeah. their voices are people that are good. I mean, it's like hits you right yeah. in your soul. But the theatricality of it, the mm-hmm. staging, the sets are remarkable. The costumes, the makeup, whatever. I loved it because it started on a beach. And so they had this beautiful mural like all the way around the stage. And then they had flowing fabric that something was shaking. So it created the pattern of the ocean.
Oh,
like to
cool.
be waves, right?
Yeah.
They also had this gigantic thing on like two pulleys that kept coming down as the sun and then also going up as the moon. And the way they illuminated it, it was spectacular. So the first 30 minutes, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And I was so taken with the whole thing. And then the snooze fest started.
No.
It just really drug on. I didn't really understand what was happening, why certain things were happening, why certain things weren't happening.
And this was on Valentine's night.
It was on Valentine's. So the minute it was over, and my husband knows this, I always say, tell anyone I'm at a show with, I'm not even going to look at you. The minute the lights come on, I will already be out the door to go to the bathroom. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to be the first one in line.
Okay.
So we did. And then as we're coming up the stairs, we happened to both walk out of the bathroom at the same time. And he was like, excuse me. And I looked over and it was him. We were laughing. And when we got
to were Phil and Claire.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God. And we got to where nobody could hear. And I'm like, do you want to go to dinner? And he's like, oh, my God, yes. And I'm like, let's go. So there's this amazing place right near where the opera is. And we went down there because it's packed before and after
sure.
the show. We went down. We had the loveliest dinner. We had an amazing server. It was just a great thing. And I was like, wow, I guess this is being a grown up. And I'm really okay with it. That we have the right to leave when
yeah.
we don't care for something.
Do you think that someone who hasn't been to the opera a million times would have found it boring?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You think I would have found it boring?
I really do. I swear I even said, I'm like, I'm really glad this is not one that I attempted to take Dana to because this is a real snooze fest.
Oh.
No, it was like really boring. I didn't care for the story at all. There was nothing. And look, they've been hit or miss. I've loved
yeah.
some, like, and I mean, where I want the whole city to see it. And
you
then there's
saw
some
La
where
Boheme,
I'm like,
right? I would have loved to have seen La Boheme.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't love it.
What's been your favorite?
La Traviata. I
wanted that's a great one.
I wanted everyone to see it. It was every single thing about it was spectacular.
I feel like La Traviata, La Boheme,
Magic Flute, mind blowing.
Yes. Those are ones that people that don't even know opera know.
Yes, because
so
you know
iconic.
The songs.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Like even if people say I don't like opera, I'm like, La Traviata, half the songs that are in that show, you have heard from movies or from your parents or grandparents, right, or in commercials. It's part of our, I don't know, classical repertoire of music. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that music.
I was thinking about that the other day of like, you know how, do you ever, are you listening to the radio and it's like 70s or whatever,
yeah,
and you know every word to every song?
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't remember my mom and dad listening to this music all the time, but right? Clearly it was enough that
you remember
it stuck in my head. Mm-hmm. And then I started going, oh God, what is Henry going to remember? Because we always play music in the car because we're in the car so much. It's LA.
Right.
And he's definitely to the point now where he like dances and he'll say, I need some music.
So cute.
Or he'll say, he gets mad if I fast forward songs. Why are you skipping? Go back to that beautiful time song, he told me one day.
Aww.
What song was it? It was, why don't you just leave me in the middle? And they say something about a clock.
Hilarious.
And he was like, no, I want to listen to that beautiful time song.
Oh, that's so
we had
cute.
To play a guessing game of what song that was. Because I was like, oh, it could be a million things. I thought he wanted Can't Stop the Feeling.
Sure. Because the Trolls
likes,
song.
Uh-huh, he uh-huh. likes bouncing to that. But no,
oh,
he wanted Zed, I think it is.
Why don't you introduce him to Cyndi Lauper, Time After Time?
Time After Time.
I love it so much.
I know.
Maybe he'll like it too.
Maybe. I always wonder what he likes and what he doesn't, because he's quiet about it.
Mm.
But I'll notice him bouncing.
That's so
cute.
Freaking cute.
You want to know what I did for Valentine's Day?
What?
Well, let's see. During the day, I went and got my nails done with my friend Kristen Marie.
Nice.
So that was lovely. And then we went for tacos. Tater tots made like nachos. And then I had a meeting with our friend,
yes,
Thomas Fowler. We were working on some stuff. So I spent the day with the two of them.
Nice.
And then I went and got Henry, and Dan Tipton had to work. So he was working kind of late. So he brought us home Taco Bell.
Nice.
So I got to tell you, though, when I'm on point,
uh-huh,
I'm a killer gift giver.
Uh-huh.
Like, to me, a gift that has some thoughtfulness in it, mm-hmm, is
totally
nice.
Yes.
You know? So for Valentine's Day, for my husband,
mm-hmm,
he's not a huge t-shirt wearer. He's pretty okay, prim and proper. But on his days off, he likes to just lounge around,
yeah,
in a t-shirt or whatever. So he is a huge Rolling Stones fan, and mm-hmm, he has an original t-shirt, and it's from a concert he went to, and it's cracking, like it's getting,
yeah.
So I bought him a new one.
Nice.
And it's a different logo. He knows what it's from. Like, he knows everything. He's like, this is from the album produced by blah, blah, blah. I don't know any of that. So I got him that and a classic The Who shirt.
Oh, nice.
He wore them this weekend. Now, I've told
That's
you before.
Major.
Yes, how I don't buy him presents anymore because he never uses, mm-hmm, or likes the things I get him. And so I've been angry for many years. This Christmas and Valentine's Day, I kind of started stepping back out,
mm-hmm,
and Christmas was okay. I did all right, mm-hmm, but I think I really hit the mark this Valentine's Day.
Now you know what you can get, like look for other cool, like maybe
rock t-shirts,
vintage of that era rock,
yes,
t-shirts. Yeah.
He really liked it. And they look super cute on him. I was like, he had his Rolling Stones t-shirt on and a hoodie. I was like, and a ball cap. I was like, oh, you look cute. Also, because I told you he's been dropping weight like crazy, like it's raining.
What, did he just stop eating bread for a month?
No, he started
like
eating
Alan
green beans.
Yep.
He started eating green beans, and all of a sudden, weight's dripping off him like rain.
The green bean diet?
Oh.
Well, do tell.
Put green beans in a bowl with some rice.
Because I'm about to start having celery juice every morning now,
no,
that
ma'am,
I've heard about the medical medium.
What?
Uh-huh.
What's a medium? Like,
you know
psychic?
What a medium. Uh-huh.
You're going to have to
listen.
Explain. Don't look at me like
the
you know.
The person that just told me about it, she is cute as can be. She is a very healthy person who she practices and teaches yoga. And we were rapping about a bunch of stuff this week about weird health things. And she goes, now, Jessica, I know that you're going to roll your eyes as hard as I did when I heard about it. But have you heard about the medical medium? I'm like, I'm already rolling my eyes. And yes, uh-huh, I've heard about it. She goes, well, so did I. And now I think I'm kind of a believer. And I'm like, I don't understand what he does. And she said he talks through spirits. What's his name? I don't know.
Because I think my aunt went to a conference of his. It was her dying wish.
Oh.
Sorry to bring it down a notch.
No. Anyways, I'm not going to go on about it because I don't know anything about him. Normally, I'd like fall down the rabbit hole. I truly just haven't had time to go there with anything lately. So yeah. I'm just like, I'll have to put that on the back burner. I am interested to see it.
But he says ghosts want you to drink celery juice.
I guess so. No, I guess he like tells people what he thinks is wrong with them or what the spirits tell him is wrong. But his big thing is celery juice. Now, it may be a random coincidence, but a whole lot of people I know have gotten on this celery juice train. And A, it's something that's not harmful. It's just celery. So I'm like, hey, if I knew that celery juice, if 6 ounces of that every day would help cure something or keep something at bay, I'm all about it.
Uh-huh.
I ain't got time to juice. And I bought one. Okay. Uh-huh. I bought one for myself at Trader Joe's yesterday, and it was revolting.
Yeah, I can imagine. I hate celery.
Only 20 calories for the whole bottle. God.
Ew.
I'm just going to continue to eat my raw celery.
I don't like that either.
Be very happy and not juice it. I do like celery in with other things.
No, I have these frozen dinners that are teriyaki chicken. They're the Michelini's Light, and they're $1 a piece. You can find them at Target or any grocery store, I think, and Walmart usually carries them too. So they have the light ones, and they have pizza snackers, chicken Alfredo Florentine, teriyaki chicken. Well, the teriyaki chicken, it's delicious, but it's got little bits of celery in it.
God forbid.
Well, thankfully, I have a dog. Because I feed her those bits of celery. I'm a grown woman.
No.
And I feed Lucy my celery.
We have to get some roughage in your diet.
I do eat roughage. You potatoes. Do?
No, nope. You got to mix some spinach in that shiz. Do you like broccoli?
Nope.
Okay.
Now, what I really need is a Vitamix or something where I can just puree the crap out of some stuff and start drinking it every day.
Oh,
I have
you
a
mean
magic
like juice
bullet.
It.
Yeah. I have a magic bullet, but I spilled pop or tea in it, and now Dan's afraid it's broken.
I'm gonna not ask how it got in the bullet. Were you trying to make like a root beer float puree or something?
No, I wasn't making anything. I just spilled a bunch of stuff on it.
The magic thing about juicing and all of that stuff is, and I'm not joking, you can get a lot of healthy things in there that you don't care for that are masked.
Yeah, that you won't taste.
By putting an apple in. I know you don't like beets, I don't think, but have a sweetness and can cover it up. But
apples, banana. I like anything with a strong fruity taste.
Listen, an old client used to make this amazing smoothie, and it was with spinach and a bunch of other stuff. All it had was one spoonful of peanut butter, and let me tell you something, that smoothie just tasted like peanut butter.
Yeah, peanut butter is a great one.
And it was amazing, and it was healthy as hell. So.
Sometimes I'll go to Robex, like if I feel a cold coming on or if someone around me is sick, and I'll get the 800-pound gorilla, which is banana, peanut butter, blah, blah, and then I put immunity boost in it.
Nice.
Now we're just talking about food.
Yep.
I ate Taco Bell for Valentine's Day. That was my story.
Oh, my God.
But if you follow me personally, how many times am I going to say it? You saw the Valentine card I got from my son.
Yes.
It's so amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah, is right.
His nanny, he picked it out himself, and his nanny didn't have the heart to tell him that there was a bad word in it. So it says on the front, it said something like, "You're so amazing. I can't even imagine my life without you," or something like that. And then on the inside it says, "And I can imagine some pretty awesome shit." And he was so proud of it. I got so excited. So for him, I got him a Baby Yoda t-shirt.
Oh, did he love it?
Yes. And Millennium Falcon socks.
Stop it. How cute.
And so he was very happy. And so anyway, yeah. So we had to talk about whatever. But anyway, I felt like, wait, I lost my train of thought. I was talking about gifts, right?
About the card that he gave
you. Oh, yeah. So we got so excited about the presents I was handing out. I forgot to open my card from him.
Oh.
So the next day he comes running. He's like, "Mommy, you forgot to open your card." He was so excited.
Sweetie.
Yeah. And I got flowers from Dan Tipton.
They're so pretty. The card is adorable, and you know why he picked it, because it's all kinds of like narwhals and sharks and all that have heart-shaped eyes.
And yeah, it's super cute, and it opens up great big, like things pop up. Yeah, it's really cute. So the day of love was nice for me, not you. Well, no, you ended up having a good time.
I was very happy when I was sipping a gimlet and having some oysters. Okay.
I saw the pictures. Do you know what I said out loud? Ew. We also did something really fun.
We did.
On Sunday, we went over, we have part of our pod squad is the Spark My Interest podcast, and we were guests over there, so that'll be coming out soon.
Yes, and you know them, but I have never met them, and they are lovely.
Yes.
We had a blast.
Yes.
And in true Dana and Jessica form, they probably thought, we'll get there at one, be done, in and out. Nope. We ended up taking over their afternoon and just talking and gabbing.
Just an hour of your time. We were there for 4 hours.
Uh-huh,
We cannot shut up.
Nope.
I mean, we could have a 24-hour-a-day live podcast if we could. If we were able to not live our lives.
Also, they were lovely to talk to. Sent us home with
Meyer lemons.
Oh, my God. They smell so incredible.
Yeah.
Put out a lovely spread of food.
I know.
Had some beautiful animals that we encountered later on in the day. It was an amazing experience. I loved it. I loved them all. Thank all three of you ladies. You were a real delight.
Yeah. And we were all D's and J's.
Yeah.
Deborah, Diana, Dana.
Jessica, Jesse.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then their husbands are Jeff and David. Deborah and Diana are married to David and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
It's real cutesy going on over there.
It's cute.
Anyway, Jessica, you want to tell people how they can get in contact with us?
Yes.
Which, by the way, guys, thank you for hearing our call. People have been writing in. We appreciate it immensely.
Yes, thank you. And again, keep them coming. And if you've sent in something before, we have some people who've sent in several times over the past year of doing this. And we love it. And we appreciate it greatly. And we will get to them eventually. Obviously, like, we got several this week. We can't do them all in the same week. Yeah. But we keep them. We will get to them. And if you're like, huh, I sent something in and they didn't do it. Sometimes, without you realizing it, it's exactly like something that we've already done. Or it is the literal thing we've done. So if we can come up with a new spin on something, we certainly will. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we're like, oh, you know
what?
Or
if it, like, needs a revisit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So fire away as far as that. On on social media, you can find us at the Rants and Raves podcast. That's on both Instagram and Facebook. On Twitter at @raves_the. Email us at therantsandravespodcast@gmail.com or directly on our website, www.therantsandravespodcast.com.
Yay! Thank you guys for everything.
Yes. And as always, please continue to like, follow, rate, subscribe, review. Any or all of the above is much appreciated. We got to keep ourselves on the spectrum of people being able to find us in the realm of podcasts.
Yeah. And if you know anyone internationally, introduce us to them.
Yeah.
Because that's a market where we have quite a few international followers, but I'd like to get some more so we can learn things from other countries.
Totally.
And learn about what other countries are doing charity wise and in good news. Maybe we'll inspire some things over here.
I'm looking at you, Canada, the UK, and New Zealand, because that's where the most of our international followers are coming from.
Yeah. All right. And transition. I'm trying new ways. I'm going to move us on into our rants.
Do it.
Okay, so I'm up first. Mm-hmm. This is from a listener. The subject is, I've got a rant. Hi, ladies. First, I just want to express how much joy Jessica's Your Weird song brings me. LOL. So my rant is that she needs to never remix it like she did in the last episode. JK, JK, JK. Which also shocked me. I called you out on it immediately.
Yes. So did my husband. He's like, what is up with how that is not how the weird song goes.
Alan was giving, I heard Alan sing his version of the weird song, and I said, I know exactly what he's singing, and yet it sounds nothing like the song.
Okay.
So you know you've missed the mark if Alan's like, no. Okay, my real rant is, and I'm not sure if you've ranted about this before, when people get in your way and don't say, excuse me. I was grocery shopping today and I was looking for something. I guess this woman needed to have what was right in front of me at the exact moment because she proceeded to reach right across me and didn't say a word. Then, in all caps, she did it again after I moved over a few feet. I honestly don't mind if you need something and I'm in your way, but for fuck's sake, please just say excuse me. This happens to me all the time, and I just want to ask these people, who the hell raised them? Do you think that's okay? Who the hell raised them to think that's okay?
Oh my God.
A lot of the time, I will loudly and passive aggressively say excuse me for them. I do that too. End rant. I have a rave too. My rave is for Dana Powell and Jessica Young in the Rants and Raves podcast. You ladies seem like such genuinely real and sweet human beings. I'm so proud of Jessica for sharing her struggle with quitting smoking, and I adore Dana for being such a great mom and teaching her son how to be a good person in this crazy world. This podcast brightens up my week, and I commend you for putting in the hard work and bringing to light so many amazing organizations, etc., in your way. Raves. I love that. This so brightened my
nice.
Day.
Thank you. Thank yes, you. Thank yes, you. Thank yes. you.
Now let's get to the real point. I feel this listener so hard. I am definitely the person who I was saying to Jessica in the green room dump when we were putting the show together. I was like, no, that's me. And I will say, excuse me. And then if they still don't respond to me, oh, I'm getting so excited. I'm hitting the equipment. If they still don't respond to me, I will lean my head down where I know I'm in at least their peripheral
vision. Oh my
God. And go, I'm sorry, I said excuse me. I must be in your way. Are you in a hurry? And I'll just keep harassing them till they leave my space.
Do they ever answer you?
Sometimes, yeah.
What do they say?
Well, one time I had a lady that I stopped through the store. She made me so mad. Have I told you this?
No.
So that happened. I was like standing to get something and I was,
oh my God,
price comparison. Comparison? You know what I mean.
Comparing.
Oh, okay. So she reaches across me and I go, oh, excuse me. Guess I was in your way. She doesn't say anything. So she's then looking and I look over at her and I go, okay, so excuse me. And I grabbed what I needed in front. Like, I'm teaching you, right? She turns and gives me a dirty look. And she was like, you were standing there a long time. And I go, I was price comparing.
I can't. With any of this.
So then she walks away and I go, I hope your day gets better. Well, then I was mad and I had the time. I didn't, but I made the time to then see what aisle she went to next. I came in the other end and I go, oh man, isn't this awkward?
Dana?
And then just gave her my mom stare.
Unreal.
She went, well, that just egged me on.
Oh, my God.
I found another aisle she was on. And I go, oh, my goodness, this just keeps happening. Isn't it the worst when you're rude to someone and then you keep seeing them over and over
my God.
So once I got that out, I felt relieved and I continued on.
I love this.
But she was just mad at me the whole day.
I love this.
Like, she was mad at me forever, the woman. But I was like, if you're going to go out of your way to be rude to me when I've clearly been like, hey, you offended me and I'm giving you the chance to make it all right, I will make you miserable. You're going to see my face 5 more times and I'm going to be rude to you every time.
Do you know what? I was just grocery shopping this weekend and there was a woman that I kept reaching over, but it's because she was not paying attention and her husband was aware of it and he kept grabbing the cart because she kept banging into me or anyone else that was around her.
She was
staring and she kept pushing the cart. She was older. Mm-hmm. She was not too old to know.
Reason, people know to say excuse me.
Well, why did I keep saying excuse me? It's like she keeps knocking into me. And then I'd walk up and I'm like waiting and I'm trying not to get annoyed because I'm like, she's also just standing there staring into the abyss. So I reached over and I'm like, excuse me. Uh-huh. And I keep saying, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, as I always do in my voice.
Your high voice so you didn't scare her?
Yes. Excuse me. But then I was getting annoyed because I'm like, one time literally I'm like, I think I just like twisted my back because I was reaching so far over her cart, okay, to reach my grocery item.
Yeah.
And every time banging into me, and the husband kept grabbing the cart and pulling it backwards. Man, why don't you grab your wife? I don't mean grab your, you know what I mean. And say, just Sheila, whatever her name is, yeah, I'm going to name her Sheila. Sheila, stop it. Pay attention. Like, clearly she needed that.
Sheila, back up. She's trying to get in here or something, right?
Yes.
I had a lady one time that I did that to. I said, excuse me, and I started to reach over. And I wasn't fighting yet. Mm-hmm. Yet, I said. And this was over deodorant.
Oh, my God.
And I knew what I wanted, right? Yeah. And I got ready to reach. And she goes, I'm looking. I'll be done in just a second. And I was like, oh, what? Yeah. I go, oh, I'm sorry. You've been here for several seconds. And I did say, excuse me.
It also makes me insane because it goes to another issue, too, of like not being aware. It's like sometimes I do need more time, or I see someone's there. I say, oh, I'm so sorry. I pull my cart away. I step to the side. Or
absolutely.
They're waiting there and I realize I'm taking too long because I'm trying to figure out what I want to order or what I'm looking for.
I'm sorry.
And I say, oh, please go ahead. They're like, are you sure? I say, absolutely. Go right ahead.
Same. Yep.
And I wish people offered the same courtesy sometimes, because I get real infuriated when people are taking way too long. And I'm like, I know what I want. It's sitting on that counter. All somebody has to do is hand it to me and I pay for it. And I will be in and out of here while these people are still
looking,
trying to decide.
Yeah, totally. Well, and this, I don't know where this listener is from, but I know one of the things when I moved to Los Angeles that I had to get used to is people bump into each other here and don't say a word.
It's absolutely insane. I'm telling you, this happened 2 days ago and I literally kept looking around going, am I crazy?
Yeah, no, it is a thing here. For sure. And
no,
I had
acknowledgement.
None.
As I'm if always they didn't like, I'm so sorry.
Me too. It's as if they didn't even touch you.
Yep.
But they full on like body swiped you.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's crazy town.
Yep.
And I know your mama told you to say, excuse me, because I am a mama. And you know what I say 75 times a day? What do you say?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. What do you say? Excuse me, burps. What do you say? Excuse me, toots. What do you say? Thank you. Like. You had a mama, and mamas do that. I know.
Of course they do.
But what happened in your life where it became such a norm for you to body swipe a human being and not say a word?
Or keep banging you with their giant tote bag?
Ugh.
That incenses me.
I have been known to also, when I finally get mad if somebody's not paying attention, going, excuse you, manners.
I just push their bag kind of hard. That's, again, my physically passive-aggressive way of being like, that's enough.
Yeah.
But I'm too scared to say it, so I just push back.
I'm not scared to say it. I'll go, okay, and then stare at him for a really long time with my bottom teeth jutted out. Okay.
I love it.
It's not good. It's not good. This listener couldn't be more right, though.
I know.
Shame on you if you bump into, you know what? Let's just set a rule. Even if you bump into a wall, just make it a habit to say, excuse me. That wall might have feelings. We don't know.
Oh, my God. And even if someone's smaller than you, you still should say, excuse me. Because I'm also thinking, like, if someone's shorter or tiny and somebody thinks, oh, I can just grab this, they'll never know.
If you are
still
in a person's
creepy
space.
And kind of disrespectful. Just say, oh, pardon me. Let them know that you're there.
Yes.
I know.
That was a good one.
It was a good one.
What'd you bring for today?
Okay, this is another rant from a listener. Listeners, rather. Okay, this is a rant titled, We Have a Rant for You. Hello, lovely ladies of Rants and Raves. Your friends over at Spark My Interest podcast have been listening and understand you need some rants. This is totally
Thank
kismet.
You.
And we did receive this from them last week and we did record with them. So
on Sunday.
It's kind of
which
awesome.
Wasn't even planned at the time.
I know.
Yeah.
Hello, lovely ladies of Rants and Raves. Your friends over at Spark My Interest podcast have been listening and understand you need some rants. Boy, does Diana have one for you.
By the way, they're twins. Two of them are twins, mm-hmm. Deborah and Diana.
Yep.
So cute.
And we just saw the 2020 Oscars come and go. Movies have definitely been on our minds. Now, clearly no one is going to enjoy every movie they've ever seen. Maybe the writing fell flat, or you didn't like a specific actor or director, or maybe animation isn't your thing. Whatever the reason, you saw the movie and you didn't like it. This I can deal with. However, what I can't handle are misleading movie trailers. How so, you ask? Don't market your movie as a comedy when you know the audience is going to leave in tears. As someone who keeps a lengthy distance from all movie dramas, I can't tell you how frustrating this is when it happens to me.
Agreed.
All right. Case in point, we recently saw the Julianne Moore and Michelle Williams movie, After the Wedding.
Now, before you continue, Jessica and I were laughing so hard. This is a full-blown spoiler alert.
Yes. So if you're planning to see After the Wedding,
don't listen. Fast forward 30, maybe 40 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Now, I admit, Julianne Moore should have been a dead giveaway to the genre, and the poster didn't make it look too happy either. That said, my husband and I opted to watch the trailer before ruling it out as something we'd like to see. I certainly wish we hadn't done that, because the trailer made this thing look like a freaking slow burn mystery. We were both intrigued and immediately decided to watch it, only to find out, spoiler alert!
Big spoiler alert!
Julianne Moore is dying a terrible and agonizing death, and she wants Michelle Williams to replace her role in her family once she's died.
Just full-blown spoil right there. We laughed so hard.
We were crying. My question to the studio is, why trick your audience? Plenty of people enjoy a sad movie. I'm not one of them, so please don't entice me to see yours. I'm not saying give away the whole plot of the film, but you certainly shouldn't portray it as something it is not. In this instance, some sort of mystery or suspense. This movie, and I repeat, almost angered me as much as the 20th Century Fox's The Family Stone. Have either of you seen it?
No, thank you. I have not.
If you don't want to bawl your eyes out, I advise against it. That trailer had me rolling. It looks like a hilarious Christmas movie, when in fact it was really a, spoiler alert from 2005, Diane Keaton telling her whole family over the holiday that she's dying and this is her last Christmas.
Shame on you, Diane Keaton. Don't do that during the holidays. Get through the holidays.
Stick to happy movies like Baby Boom.
Well, I just meant, don't tell your family during and ruin their Christmas. Just say, wait until January 3rd and then say, by the way, I'm dying.
Oh my God. I did not sign up for that, nor did I sign up for Julianne dying either. Side note, there's a great website called Does the Dog Die? DoesTheDogDie.com that can help with this problem. Spoilers happen, but at least you know if any animal or person dies in the film.
I didn't know that existed. That's amazing.
I'm not going to look at it. It'll make me too upset, and then I probably won't see any movie.
Probably.
It's a lifesaver. I wish I had prior to this award season. Maybe this is my rave for the show. Okay, my rant is over. I officially need a cleansing breath and maybe a little You're Weird rendition from Jessica. Also, we'd love to have you girls on the show. Well, guess what? We did it!
Yay! Okay, I have things to say about this. First of all, I'm still crying that she just spoiled that movie.
Yes.
Real hardcore. And then a 2005 movie. It made me laugh so hard. Second of all,
in all fairness, she did in capital letters give a spoiler alert.
Of course. Yeah, there was definitely a spoiler alert. It just still makes me laugh so hard.
Me too.
But I hear what she's saying for sure. I lately, the past couple of years, mm-hmm. you know, have been kind of rough. And so I have avoided dramas too. And when mm-hmm. it comes to award season, especially, almost everything is like
heavy.
So dour and yeah, heavy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I get that. And I hate being misled. I felt like I went to see Get Out pretty early. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, too. Saying, oh, Julianne Moore should have been a clue.
Mm-hmm.
She was in The Big Lebowski. Hilarious movie.
Yep.
And she also didn't she do some semi-comedy with David Duchovny where it's like the end of the world or something, too?
Hilarious.
Anyway, she's done some things.
I don't exactly place her in the comedic act.
But she's definitely done enough where I'm like, I could see it.
Also, a lot of actors do both.
Right.
It's not like, oh, you own like.
Like, so when I went to see Get Out, I mm-hmm. wanted to see it really quick because we know those guys and everything. And I thought it was a comedy.
Oh, my God.
Boy, was I in for a treat.
Stay woke.
And then I went and saw Ma, which.
Yeah.
Which was incredible for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. That should have been marketed as a comedy.
Yeah.
And I think it would have done better because I loved it for that. It made us laugh.
I think there's so many movies that do, and she's right about the trailer, The trailer is your window into the movie or the show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's the litmus test of whether you want to see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there are amazing movies out there that have horrible trailers where I'm like, well, that looked like crap. That's why I didn't see it 3 years ago. It looked terrible.
Yeah.
There's also trailers that makes that you're like, I am seeing that the day it comes out.
And then you go and every moment in the trailer is the best movie.
Yep.
Moment of the
movie.
It's
pure crap.
It's so aggravating. Don't put your best stuff in the trailer. And then I go and I'm like, what? Okay.
It also ruins it. Like that big joke or whatever, that moment. Then it falls flat once you see it in the movie because you know it's happening. Music is a huge factor.
Indicator.
To a yay or a nay on a trailer. And sometimes the music makes it look incredible. Makes you, you're not, the music isn't something you see, but it makes the whole look and feel of the trailer something that it is not.
Mm-hmm.
I also get really angry. You know, it's a very distinct instrumental piece that was played in the movie Requiem for a Dream.
Yes.
Saw it once. Won't ever be seeing it again.
I've seen it like 5 times.
What is wrong with you?
I just think it's such an incredible film. The way it's shot, the cinematography, the stylization at the time was kind of new.
But it gives me such anxiety.
I honestly, this is going to be controversial. I feel like they should show it to teenagers.
I mean, I'm not arguing.
It is
an important film
graphic.
To see. Yes.
But it gets the message across. Drugs are bad.
Yeah.
Drugs are real bad.
But do you know that song that they play in the movie
over and over every time?
And it gets louder and more aggressive and more anxiety inducing.
Yes.
Well, they used that in the trailer for, I believe it was The Hobbit.
Oh, no.
It was either Lord of the Rings or the... Now I'm yelling. It was either Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit. And they were playing that music in the trailer and I was seeing red.
It made me furious. Because one day I was singing, I was humming that. And I meant it, I think, for Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. And Dan Tipton thought I was singing. He was like, why are you so creepy right now singing Requiem for a Dream? And I was like, no, it's Lord of the Rings. So that makes sense to me. I know what you're talking about.
Also, this is for Diana and for anyone that has interest to this. I do not remember what studio does this. I hope they still do it. It's been a while since I've seen a new one. There was a contest that went on for a couple of years.
Yes. Where they recut trailers?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I need all of you to look up the following and like put it in like this: the movie Big Recut or Funny Recut, however you need to Google it. Big.
Uh-huh.
Everybody remembers Big, right? Remember when Josh disappears?
Uh-huh.
And poor Mercedes Rule is like, where's my son?
Yes.
And it's such a real and visceral moment. Well, they've recut it to look like the son's been kidnapped.
Oh, scary.
So all of the, yes, it makes Big look like a very scary movie. They also make Mrs. Doubtfire, one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time, look like a creepy thriller. And especially when it pans to Mrs. Doubtfire peeking out the window, they're playing this eerie music.
Oh, wow.
My all-time favorite is the one for The Shining that they make it look like a comedy. And
I've seen that one.
Peter Gabriel's going down on Strawberry Hill, like a song that just makes you want to whistle and put a pep in your step down the street. It's brilliant, but again, it just shows you it's the
how
same
powerful
movie.
That stuff is. Yeah,
everything in it is a real clip for the movie. The music, mm-hmm, and the narration changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But she's right. Like, how does it get through a studio system that way?
I don't know,
because it's detrimental to your film.
100%. And isn't there somebody signing, multiple people going, wow, this is what we're gonna show in the theater the next time a new movie rolls out.
Yeah, we absolutely, Apocalypse Now is going to have people rolling.
Okay. It's unbelievable. So yes, I apologize to that. I am the opposite. I like a real heavy movie. Maybe I need to look for some more
I've been avoiding
stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not a rom-com person. I'm not a rom-com either,
but there's so much content available now. I was saying to you, I got sucked into a mini series from, I think, the BBC. It's on Amazon Prime, Medieval Dead. If you like that kind of stuff, I'm telling you, it is fascinating. This archaeologist, Tim Sutherland, who I realized, oh my God, my heart's fluttering. I think I'm in love with him. He reminds me of Michael Sheen. And he's so smart. He's an archaeologist. And he is so passionate about what he's talking about. And you know how attractive that is.
Yes.
When someone has passion about something, even if you know nothing about it,
100%.
You're like, oh my.
All of my college English professors, thank right? you very much.
Because I think somewhere inside you, you're like, well, if you're passionate about this, what else are you passionate about? So anyway, he's an archaeologist. And
is it real? Is it like a docuseries?
Yes.
Okay, I take my words back. I will give it a chance. Because I do like that.
So the battle of, I always say it wrong, Anjanar. Anyway, it was like the Danes versus the people of Gethard. This is so boring, I know. But anyway, they had this major battle and it was a slaughter. Okay. But it was so many people dead that they just made mass graves.
Oh, wow.
So this is from like the late 1300s.
Huh.
Okay. They unearthed some of these mass graves. Oh. These people were in full body armor. Full chainmail, and the injuries, they have specialists in bones, osteos, something or others. They can tell exactly what kind of weapons. Some of them still had arrows and stuff in their skulls. And then also the Viking or the Danes, they used war hammers. And they would just go around to the wounded and put it in their skull. Just to end it. So anyway, it told a lot about the evolution of body armor.
Interesting.
And the one thing that stuck out to me too that they were talking about is how we always see these big epic war things and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so not glamorous, but it's like, this was literally terror. They said that there's a thing called blood mist, where when it's such a battle, there's so many people, psychologically, they kind of lose it. They don't know what they're swinging at. They don't know what they're doing. They're just terrified and trying to survive. So anyway, if you're interested in that.
That's crazy.
But they have these things in the museums, this full body armor and stuff. It's incredible. Wow. It's a great series. Anyway, I don't know why I got off on that.
I know Alan would love it. But I do like history.
He would like it because they found like some pommels from swords, which is very rare because a lot of times after battles, people would pick up all the weapons and stuff. That's what makes these mass graves so insane.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's what I watched. Did I watch, what was that Moon movie that won all the awards a couple of years ago?
Moonlight?
Yep. Did I see that? No. How many British documentaries about like the catacombs have I watched? 75. But they don't make me cry.
Oh my God.
That death was a long time ago. Okay. Is there death in Moonlight? I don't even know.
You need to go to the Bearded Lady. Maybe we'll go there on a little field trip since you seem to like all of this macabre.
I've always been that way.
I know.
It's
so weird.
You need
to go to this incredible store in the vintage sector of...
Oh, I need to.
Burbank. Where are all of our places that we like are. Yeah, I'm going to have to take you there.
I definitely... This is an announcement for Los Angeles. I heard a rumor. It goes around every few years. Mm. It does happen sometimes, so I'm going to put it out there. Mm. If you are a fan of the macabre and you want to go to the Museum of Death.
Nope.
I heard a rumor that they are closing soon.
Good, because it's put on by Scientology.
The Museum of Death is personally owned.
No, and it's horrifying. I know someone went in it, and I would never go. And don't any of you even think about going.
I'll say, it's not healthy for your brain. It's really not. There were some interesting things there, but then there were like...
No, there wasn't.
Okay. I love how I'm like, I won't watch sad movies, but literally everything else I do is about death.
Yeah, no.
But that's why when I was, I have told you this before, when I was younger, I was getting a nursing minor because I was going to work in a coroner's office. So for some reason, the aftermath is peaceful to me. It's the actual process of dying or watching a movie where you're losing, you fall in love with a character and you lose. I can't handle that.
I mean, I actually don't think that's weird. And there has to be people that think like you, or I think about that all the time. I'm like, who does this or that or whatever? Well, we need people to do everything in this world. So thank goodness we haven't gotten to a point where nobody wants to work in forensics. Nobody wants to work in a funeral home or anything like that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, I feel like that kind of work, anyone who can do it long term for a career, kudos to you. I don't think I'm cut out to like have done it for 40 years and retire from it. But I'll tell you, if I don't get a job pretty quick, I may have to go back to school and do it.
Also, I will say this as a quick aside. I know for some people, and they truly do believe this, and like for instance, you know, whatever. I don't need to go on a diatribe about this, but a lot of people say, well, it's a body. Like when someone dies, mm-hmm. they're like, whether you're religious or not, they're like, your soul, whatever, the energy from the body is not there anymore.
Right.
So they're like, that's how we can, like, just people have asked before, like, how do you do that? Or isn't it crazy or mm-hmm. upsetting? And they say, no, just you kind of look at it more like a scientist.
Yeah. And for me mentally, it was when I was studying nursing, I was like, I can't lose these people. Like, yeah. then I am partially responsible for whether they live or die. And that sure. I can't do that. But after they're already gone, all I can do is provide answers and peace and closure yeah,
no, that's
for the family.
Actually,
and
very interesting. And to me, that's
really important because I've had, you know, a death in my family mm-hmm. that had no closure and mm-hmm. never will. And mm-hmm. it haunts you
of
forever.
Of course. So absolutely.
That's how I see it. I don't know. It's weird.
We need to take a cleansing
breath. We do. We do. We got a little off the rails.
We did.
I feel like last week's episode was like, oh, a quick, tight 52 minutes. And now we're into an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to pick up the pace.
Okay.
Toot sweet.
All right. If you're by yourself, scream it out. If you're not by yourself, then you want to scream it out. We are not responsible for legal fees. Let's take a deep breath in. And out with all the bad and death.
Yes. I can smell the formaldehyde from here.
Okay. Woohoo. Way to keep it lively and happy,
yeah.
Dana. Sorry about that, folks. Moving into corners. I think I'm up first. This is going to make you feel a whole lot better. Okay, here we go. Man uses rodents to scam hotels into letting him skip the bill.
I'm dead.
This is category news from my favorite by Spooky on Oddity Central. I should just email them and be like, you are my life source for news. A Utah man is facing criminal charges after admitting to releasing rodents in at least 3 different hotels in order to then complain about the pesky critters and get compensated with a free room.
Put him in a jail cell and throw away the key.
According to police, Ryan Centel State, 37, would check into hotels and sneak rodents like mice and hamsters as well. Once in the room, he would release the rodents, then call staff and complain about terrible hygiene. He would point out the droppings and in some cases the rodents themselves.
No.
And ask to be exempt from paying for accommodation. He obviously got away with it, this tactic a few times as he was accused of scamming at least 3 hotels. Although authorities believe he had scammed several more hotels in the area. Now, they have this cute picture here. I cut the bottom off.
Are those his personal rats?
I don't think so. I think it's just little mices. But, like, my whole thing on this story is, A, don't ever want to stay in a hotel with you, buddy. But also, where are you getting these? Are you going to the pet store and buying, like, feeder mice and hamsters and then releasing them in the wild? That's not cool, dude. Not cool.
I don't like anything about it. First of all,
I have a hard time asking, like, if my food was delivered wrong or I waited forever. Okay. Like, hey, can I? This took 45 minutes to get here. Can we get a little bit? I feel bad doing that. This guy's like, you have rodents. I may have brought them, but I want it for free.
Also, I mean, anything can carry disease, but let's face it, rodents are known to carry diseases.
Uh-huh,
okay.
Uh-huh.
It's not cool, because I'm assuming they come in and obviously destroy the animals.
Yes.
Also, how dare you bring that kind of filth and disease and cause those kind of problems for a place where other guests are staying and people work there?
Yeah, I hope they get him for...
I hate this man so much.
Being a con, animal cruelty, all kinds of stuff. I hope they get him for all of it.
That's like a next level lie that I cannot deal
with. It's crazy. I mean,
it's not okay.
No, that's several steps up from putting your hair in your food and going, I found a hair in my food. I think I'm going to need this.
I ate it all except for this one last bite. I can't.
That's my corner. I didn't even label it.
I know.
I mean, that was going to be... Do we retroactively?
You're weird. You're so very weird. Why must you bring your weirdness here?
And why did you bring your mind?
That's exactly. I wish they had hired me to stand there and sing it
and
as he was
checking
into the hotel.
Wag your pointer finger at him. Why did you? Okay, what'd you bring this week?
Don't worry, I didn't remix it. I hope you could tell.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, this is, I guess it's a what the what?
What the what?
It should be something far worse.
I think it should be a new corner that's like, this is a travesty to mankind.
Yes. Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the humanity.
Crocs launches a KFC version that look and smell like fried chicken.
I'm sorry.
Look at the picture.
I can't look at that. I'm sorry, you mean crocodiles?
No. Remember those revolting rubber shoes with holes that Mario Batali used to wear in the kitchen?
Okay, so the first time I ever saw a pair of Crocs was on my friend Rob Reines.
No, you are gotta be kidding me.
It was when they first came out. Nobody had them yet because he's like, la-di-da.
Him of all people?
We were like, are those your grandma's gardening shoes? What are you doing? We could not stop making fun of him.
Good. He deserves it. I have never been so shocked. In 100 years, I
wouldn't
guess. I had never
seen them. They were brand new.
Nope.
He was like, these are the new thing, guys. We were like, uh-huh, sure.
Shame.
With your plastic Holland clogs.
You know better, and you have better taste than that. I refuse to accept that. Okay, I don't like the way they look, but more importantly, they're rubber. And don't even try to tell me, I don't care how clean you think your feet are. If you wear rubber shoes, your feet are going to stank.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially Crocs.
Why don't they just go in and do a collaboration with Fritos?
Ew.
They don't even have to add the smell. It'll just come out after the first time someone wears it.
Ew.
Just when you think you've seen everything fashion has to throw at us, Crocs go and launch a limited edition, you better run because they're going to be gone soon.
They're going to be sold out.
Which promise to have your feet smelling like fried chicken, you can go to hell. Okay? In the craziest collab of the year, the fast food giant has teamed up with the shoes everyone loves to hate to create two styles of limited edition footwear. I just called it food wear.
Foodwear.
That was another Freudian slip. How gross. And each come complete with chicken-scented charms.
No.
The first of the collection, a sky-high platform, meaning a platform shoe, has debuted this week. I'm about to fall over. In time for New York Fashion Week?
Oh, come on.
I can't.
There, no.
The second clog will be available for the spring.
Week, right?
It was
a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Ugh.
KFC's marketing bosses are confident that the fun and fashionable take on classic clog
not
will
fun
prove
to, have
to be
chicken scented feet.
No, a cult hit with fans of the clog style shoes.
No.
Okay, here is the platform ones.
No.
Where it looks like she's standing on a bucket and then the
chicken
are the part over her feet.
Uh-huh.
Refuse, but I will be posting that picture.
Of course you will. You have to.
Now, this is the real kicker. Oh, God. Please, please look
no.
at them. The shoes, which feature the KFC red stripes and come with two removable chicken-scented charms, will retail for $59.99.
Oh, come on.
Can you go treat yourself to a pair of Converse All-Stars at Target for under $30 instead?
Something, anything but that. Go to a wrestling show. Don't buy those shoes.
Okay, I have to throw in this pun because we know how much Dana loves them.
No.
Terrence Riley from Crocs added, "We're thrilled with this bucket list partnership with Kentucky Fried Chicken."
No, you're not. It wasn't on your bucket list. You just saw an opportunity for a pun and I'm angry.
I know. It's so disgusting and I hate it and I am not okay with it. All right?
No, that's...
Buzz off.
Buzz off.
KFC and Crocs. You're both gross. Ugh.
He makes really good coleslaw. Though.
I know. Okay, I love their coleslaw. Okay.
Wow. That was an interesting corner
God
week.
Dang.
Okay. So we have to move on to our raves. I am up first. Are you
yes,
ready for this?
Yes.
This
yes.
Is
yes.
So adorable. Couple flying home with adopted baby gets impromptu plane baby shower.
Aww.
There's so many pictures. It's so cute. The crew passed around napkins and pens for passengers to write words of advice and encouragement for the new parents. This is by Quinn Fish. This was on Valentine's Day. And this is from workingmother.com. An airplane is probably one of the most unlikely places to be reminded that there's still good in the world, especially when you're carrying a newborn or when you get vomited on, Jessica.
Oh, snap.
New parents Dustin and Karen Moore got a huge surprise on their Southwest Airlines flight home to California from Colorado with their 8-day-old adopted baby girl.
Aww.
The nutritionist dad took to Twitter with their heartwarming story. It's been a difficult week, but rather than publicly air my grievances, I'd like to share with you the kindness strangers offered us the day we brought our daughter home. And he goes on, the parents boarded the plane and immediately apologized to those around them about their precious bundle. Soon after, when the baby politely informed them she needed a new diaper, one of the flight attendants cleared a space in the back of the plane for them to change her. Later, another flight attendant and a few friendly passengers complimented the couple on how cute their little one was. Minutes later, there was an unusual announcement on the intercom for the whole plane to hear. The same flight attendant announced the Moores' new daughter as a special guest on the flight, and everyone on the plane erupted in cheers and applause. The flight attendant then announced the crew would be passing out napkins and pens, and anyone who wanted to share advice or encouragement was invited to do so. We sat in speechless gratitude as people kept peeking over their chairs to congratulate us. After the writing was done, the flight attendants read some of their favorites over the intercom. The crew gathered the napkins and read a few of their favorites. Rub each other's feet and rub the baby's feet. Make time for date night. Always tell her you love her. Enjoy every minute. It goes by so very fast. Drink lots of wine. The two flight attendants let Dustin and Karen know that they were married. And when the crew had done a similarly sweet act, they were embarking on their honeymoon. Aww. They decided to pay it forward to the new parents. They delivered them the 60-plus napkins with messages and a set of pilot wings for their daughter. Even as we disembarked, people kept approaching us, wishing us well.
That's so sweet.
And we've got pictures here and some of the things that the dad shared. The outpouring of love from the flight brought on by the actions of two thoughtfully observant flight attendants exceeds my ability to describe what it meant to us. Oh, I love it. Oh.
I love that, too. When, like, everyone, I love situations where all the strangers just come together and are like, yeah!
Yes, I know. We can't help but take this as a reminder to pay it forward the next time we're gifted an unexpected act of kindness. Oh, and to give parents with newborns on flights a little bit of slack.
So sweet.
So Amen. Cute.
Yes.
Cute. Congratulations to that family.
And thank you to our listener who sent that in.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That was really cool. My rave is about college students who came up with an amazing program. Students launched glass recycling program to turn New Orleans' many empty bottles into erosion-fighting sand.
That sounds so cool.
I love it. And again, it's going to make me say, why isn't every city doing this?
I know.
It'll create jobs and help the area. Three students from Tulane University have made it their mission to address the problem of landfills and coastal erosion simultaneously by taking a novel approach. They want to turn the millions of empty beer bottles that New Orleans produces into sand.
Wow.
The three students, Max Landy, Max Stites, and Franziska Troutman, are no strangers to environmental activism, having previously founded the innovative startup Plant the Peace that gets people to raise money for planting trees by playing online games.
Come on, how old are these kids?
I mean, they're college students, so they can't be too old. I mean, anybody could be any age in college, but I see their picture. They're not old.
Yeah, they're young.
So Plant the Peace, maybe we'll have to revisit that for another rave.
Definitely.
Now they've turned their attention to launching a new glass recycling program citywide that will convert waste glass into sand that can be used to help protect the flood-prone state from further erosion. We thought we have two huge problems, one of which is that every single beer, glass, and wine bottle that is used in the city will exist forever in a landfill. A couple of hundred miles from here. And simultaneously, we're losing so much land every single minute due to coastal erosion. If we could set up the symbiotic system that works well to solve these problems, it could do some real good for the city. The students have launched a GoFundMe to raise the requisite funds. It has already raised some $11,000, outstripping their initial goal of $9,000. They initially planned to set up 20 drop-off sites for glass around the city in cooperation with local partners, though with a new stretch goal of $15,000, that number could presumably expand.
Wow.
The bulk of the funds raised will go to buying a glass pulverizing machine that will be rendered mobile through the use of a trailer, which will allow these gung-ho environmentalists to recycle on the go by bringing their glass crusher to the bars and venues that make up New Orleans' raucous and bottle-rich nightlife.
Wow.
We'll have a workplace and traveling glass recycling operation. We can go to bars and pick up glass and drive while simultaneously making the sand. It crushes a bottle every 1 to 2 seconds.
That's amazing.
It's so, 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 so cool.
I mean, I'm going to say it again. I used to not be a fan of the youth. I had a chip on my shoulder. But I'm telling you.
It's amazing.
They are so much more aware and
yes.
proactive.
Yep.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
Totally.
I love those kids. They're not kids. They're college students. I love those young adults. Is that yep. right? I don't want to be condescending because they're doing way better things than I am.
No, it's
I'm like,
fantastic.
I watched 4 episodes of Medieval Dad. They're like, really? Because we're replacing the earth.
We're crushing glass as we go. No,
that's
but
lovely.
It is amazing. Okay, it's recycling it into something else very much needed. Mm-hmm. And I noticed this was about 10 years ago when I was in New York. I'm like, what is this weird little car that wasn't a truck, wasn't it? I'm like, what the hell is that? It would pull up to restaurants and pull all of their oil, like vegetable oil waste,
mm-hmm.
and they convert it into biofuel.
Yeah, I've seen there's actually here in
so
Los Angeles,
cool.
there's a little truck that says I run on corn or something,
yeah,
corn
yeah,
oil
yeah.
or something. Yeah, that's super cool.
I love it.
I do too. Oh, also, I wanted to mention real quick. I think I sent this to you. There is, so I'm always sharing with you guys what I
yeah.
love on social media. On Instagram, I started following influencers in the wild.
Oh,
which
what is that?
Funny videos that people take of other people taking selfies and making videos for social media.
Hilarious.
It's so crazy and it's so funny. But the site, it just started a couple of months ago and it's blowing up. Guess
sure.
who runs it?
Who?
Tank Sinatra, the guy who does
no
Tank's
way.
Good News. Therefore, he's such a positive guy. So, like, none of it is mean. Some of it is we're laughing at what's
right,
going
right,
on.
Right.
But, like, somebody sent one in of a little girl in Target
oh,
making
God.
A makeup video on the floor and trying to, like, set it up.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I want to know who you are. If this is you, good for you for trying to make something. And I want to help you get followers so you don't have to be in the floor in Target. How adorable is that?
Well, maybe Tank wants to follow us sitting on the floor in Target. Because you know what? Remember quite a few episodes back, we talked about Ryan's Toy World?
Uh-huh.
The kid that's
yeah.
made, I don't remember how many yeah. million
but
as a 5-year-old.
Old now, yeah.
Well, he's now on the face of Colgate spin brushes. I just took a picture when
oh,
I was at
well,
the drugstore.
I'm glad his career
so
is
he's
continuing.
Doing just
he's
fine.
Doing just great. Yeah. Well, I do love Tank's Good News. It always makes me smile. And Influencers in the Wild is very funny, but he's making an effort to not make fun of people. Just like the situation. I don't know. It's pretty cute.
Hilarious.
Jessica.
Dana.
I think that's our show.
I think it is.
So you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at the Rants and Raves podcast. You can find us on Twitter at @raves_the. Mm-hmm. You can find us on our website, therantsandravespodcast.com, or you can email us at therantsandravespodcast@gmail.com. I like yeah. to end every week with mm-hmm. a little weekly point to ponder.
I love it.
So they're usually conversation starters, things I love on Instagram, like Tank's Good News.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica, I couldn't
yes.
decide. These are like kind of facts, conversation starters.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't decide which one I wanted to use. So if you could just, what's the word?
Choose.
Well, I was going to say ameliorate me, but that's not right. If
I
you could,
don't even know what that
what
means.
What word am I looking for?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. If you could...
Indulge you?
Pander me. That's not it. If you could indulge me. Sure. Let's go with that, because... Can we tell I'm drinking a monster drink right now? So, I'm going to role play with you as if we've just met.
Okay.
And I'm going to use these conversation starters.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, hi. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, good. Nice to meet you. My name's Dana.
I'm Jessica.
Jessica, nice to meet you. Do you know anyone here?
I don't. I don't yeah. usually come to these things.
No, I don't either. Did you know that horses can't vomit?
I'm sorry?
Horses can't vomit. Isn't that crazy?
Yes. Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
What if they're choking?
They can't. Well, they can't vomit, so I guess they're just going to die. I don't know. But crocodiles can't stick their tongue out, so... Which is worse?
I think not being able to vomit.
I think so. The animal world is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to go get a drink. Oh, bye.
No, wait. Can I get you some food? Did you know butterflies can taste through the feet? And scene. All right, guys. See how easy that was? Helping you meet people and grow your friendship circle. We'll be here next week. Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Bye.
Bye.